The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment and comment line is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be a part of the show. On Force, Field Nation, Service Live. These names are well known to many IT service technicians as sources for contract work. They are cloud-based routing systems where clients place orders for field service work and techs fulfill them, often sacrificing their own established policies and rates for terms and greatly discounted rates set by the client. Such is the world of the web-based service platform. There are many platforms out there, and although they vary somewhat according to their policies, procedures, rates, and risks, they all do pretty much the same thing. They serve primarily as conduits to route work from clients or buyers of those platforms to techs or providers who sign up and agree to accept the work. Today we are going to talk with an entrepreneur who created a new kind of platform that could change the rules of engagement between buyer and provider to bring balance, trust, and profitability to all sides. He will tell us what this platform is, how it works, and what makes it different from all the other service platforms on the net. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. Windows XP officially turned 10 years old August 24th. Microsoft's operating system, while somewhat ancient in software years, is still going strong, currently running on nearly half of all Windows PCs throughout the world. It won't last forever, though. Microsoft is scheduled to end support of Windows XP in 2014. F-Secure reports a new worm called Morto is making its way around Windows networks. Morto spreads using Remote Desktop Protocol, or RDP. When a machine is infected, it scans for a remote desktop connection on the local network on TCP port 3389. When it locates a remote desktop server, the worm attempts to log in under the username administrator using common passwords. If you notice a lot of sudden activity on port 3389, you may want to check it out. Nolo has released Quicken Business Legal Plan 2012. The software includes over 140 legal contracts, forms, and worksheets to start and manage a business. Quicken Business Legal Plan 2012 is available for download for $34.99 and includes a free download of the book Working with Independent Contractors when you register the software. And finally, Steve Jobs has resigned as CEO of Apple. Jobs, who founded Apple Computer, abruptly resigned August 24th and named COO Tim Cook as his successor. I've been somewhat critical of Jobs and Apple in the past, mostly related to his narcissistic approach to the business, and in situations when I found irony in something he said or his company did. The irony of all this is that, as much as I hesitate to admit it, Steve Jobs has, in several ways, helped enrich our lives. Why, if it weren't for the Apple computer, we wouldn't have Fanboys. And if it weren't for iTunes, no one would be using Safari on a Windows desktop. If it weren't for the iPod, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast right now. It'd be called something else, like Wavecast or a Windcast or perhaps just an audiocast. If it weren't for the iPhone, I wouldn't have my cool Droid. And let's face it, if it weren't for Macs, we wouldn't have so much fun making fun of PCs, in spite of the fact that a majority of users in the world still prefer to use PCs instead of Macs. So, whether you like him or not, Steve Jobs has contributed much to the world and the business of tech, which is why his departure will leave a void in this industry for years to come. Mr. Jobs, I wish you well. And that's the news in the Force Field. Usually we have a commercial break where we showcase a specific, personally approved sponsor. This week we're going to take a break from that and spend a minute or two getting to know the ForceField.net. Although it is the official home of the Forcefield podcast, it is really much more. It's a web portal with news, blogs, resources, and reviews from inside the IT industry. There's the latest news releases from major tech companies, reviews of new products and services, blogs and discussions about trending topics in tech fields, and sources of information for learning the ins and outs of the IT industry. The ForceField.net also features the ForceField Forums, a community of techs who collaborate, support one another, and discuss the issues vital to their businesses. In addition, there are articles, books, videos, and access to free industry trade publications, such as periodicals, ebooks, and white papers, all there to help you learn more about the business of tech. Most of the resources inside the Force Field are accessible to members only. However, membership is free. To join, simply register at www.theforcefield.net. Join today and build your business inside the Force Field. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk or leave a comment to use in an upcoming episode, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698. Or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. In 2003, entrepreneur Jeff Leventhal launched a new web-based platform that changed the way IT service companies and service professionals do business. The company, originally called ComputerRepair.com, is known today as OnForce. For those who are not familiar with OnForce, it's a service platform, or, as they call it, a marketplace, where IT companies, known as buyers, solicit work to field technicians, consultants, and other IT professionals, which the platform calls pros. Through the years, OnForce inspired the creation of many other service platforms, such as Field Nation and Service Live. They are all different companies, but they all do essentially the same thing. They route work orders to service technicians in a cookie-cutter approach that either removes or severely limits the ability of the tech to perform the work according to the terms of his or her own business model and at his or her own established rates. In episode 25 of The Force Field, Jeff Leventhal announced plans to develop a new service platform intended to change that. This new platform is now officially online, and I invited Jeff back on the show to tell us all about it. Today we're going to talk with Jeff and learn about his new platform. We'll find out how it works, who is working with him to bring it online, and what makes it different and unique among all the other platforms in the IT marketplace, as we begin with part one of a two-part introduction to work market. And we're speaking with Jeff Leventhal. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back to the Force Field.
Hey, Rick. How are you today?
Just fine. How about yourself?
It's a beautiful day here in New York, so things are good.
Great. It's nice here in North Carolina. A bit hot, but it's pretty nice here. Jeff, you're known in the IT industry as the founder and former CEO of OnForce. And a while back, you left OnForce. And the last time that you were here on the Force Field, we had you on a while back in episodes 24 and 25, I believe. And you announced that you were planning to launch a new project, which is now pretty much live, called Work Market. First of all, what is Work Market?
Well, Work Market is what we call a labor resource platform. It's a place where companies can manage work and where people can come to get work. Work Market helps a company and helps people manage the entire labor supply chain. And what I learned over the years is that there's a framework to the hiring process. And that framework is finding people, verifying those people, engaging with them, managing them, paying them, and rating them. And so, having learned a lot of things, having done this a few times, we built our system to this labor process. And it's a software system, it's a labor supply chain management platform that enables you to do all of those things in one place.
So it's kind of an online or in a sense, kind of a cloud-based project management system, really, for companies?
Well, it's definitely online, it's definitely in the cloud, and you can definitely manage projects on it. But again, you know, it's more about the entire supply chain of labor. So projects is something that would fall under our management component. So when we say find, verify, engage, manage, projects is a component of manage. Manage consists of assignments and work orders and statements of work and projects.
It's not so much the rest of the project as the company has laid out, but just pretty much the labor side of that.
Some of our clients manage projects, and they perform large projects and large rollouts, and so they need tools to help them organize that within the context of a labor resource platform. And so it's a component of our system. Some of our clients have no need for project tools, and so they can use our platform just as well to manage work in a different way. But our project-oriented clients, you know, the projects matter to them, and they use that component of our system. Another thing about Work Market is that we've built it in a set of components and with a lot of modularity. And so you can look at each of these steps in the labor process as a separate module within our framework. And so, yes, project is part of that.
I see. Well, now, since you founded ComputerRepair.com, which is now known as OnForce, back in 2003, online service platforms and systems such as, you know, FieldNation and ServiceLive, they've sprung up all over the Internet. And there are some subtle differences between them, but they all basically do the same thing. I mean, they provide a venue for buyers to route work orders to service providers and allow the providers to perform the contract work for the buyers. Now, 8 years ago, this was a rather innovative concept. But now these web-based service platforms are all over the place. What makes Work Market different from all these other companies?
Well, look, there are a number of things that make it different. And one, you know, there's a saying out there, it's flattering to be copied, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say a lot of the work that's out there today are derivative products of the work that we started to do at OnForce.
That's true.
You know, so I think some people look at the OnForce platform, they liked the product, and they thought that they can make a version of that product. I don't think anybody has made a product out there that's as good as OnForce in terms of the companies that you've mentioned so far today. When we built Work Market, you know, we had the benefit of starting with a clean sheet of paper. We had the benefit of managing millions of work orders. My team at Work Market is the team that built the OnForce business. And so having worked together and having had the insight of the industry, we were able to start with a clean sheet of paper and really kind of rethink a lot of things. And so whereby the labor process is a lot more than just sending somebody, hey, here's an assignment, right? That's a very easy, simple thing to do, but our clients need to have different tools in place to do that. The people who accept work on our system, it's not a one-way street. They're also a buyer of labor, right? We think that everybody's a buyer and seller of labor. One thing that we've done here is that we've combined the buy and sell account into one platform. Everybody gets the same interface. Everybody has the same tools in front of them to use. And everybody can monetize their system. Everybody can monetize their time and labor in the same capacity. The other thing that we've done is that we've built WorkMarket to be agnostic to the kind of labor. Within IT, you can come up with everything from break-fix work to high-end consulting work. And, you know, there's 10 different categories of labor in between. And so we wanted to make sure that the perception here was that this was another break-fix platform. This is a place to manage a labor supply chain. So it's agnostic to the kind of labor that we'll transact on. At OnForce, we hard-coded the system to one process. And then over time, we had to band-aid it by creating longer and longer assignment forms and never really having the luxury of rebuilding the system properly. And so here, you can now manage any kind of labor in a modular fashion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up an interesting point a few moments ago that anybody can use this platform, that it's agnostic to labor pretty much.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because I've talked on the force field a number of times about outsourcing work to other parties when it's needed. And that's true of the smallest, you know, one-man operation to the large, you know, large corporations. And when you're outsourcing the work back and forth to each other, I mean, when it comes down to, say, if I'm just one guy and I need one tech to go in an area that I can't service because I'm doing something else, that's kind of a quick and dirty, hey, can I get somebody that I can trust out there, somebody I know, that I can set up a network of techs close to me that I can outsource work to when I need it as kind of a buddy system, so to speak.
Yeah.
When you're saying agnostic, that's really kind of what you mean, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, look, you can organize any kind of labor that you want. You know, one big difference here is that we made the platform so that you could, we would say to our clients, hey, look, you do 1,000 service events a week. You're putting 100 on our platform over here at OnForce. How come? And they would say, well, Jeff, look, we've got our own employees already. We've already got a list of vendors. And what we can't get done with our employees or our vendors, we throw over the fence to you. And what I learned was that I was only addressing 10% of the market with my product at OnForce. We thought this out, and we said to ourselves, hey, you know what? Let's make it so that you can manage your employees, your vendors, and third parties, people outside of your database, people who you don't know, all in one spot. And you know what? Let's go one step further. Let's make it, let's give the platform away at no charge when you want to use it to manage your own internal employees. Essentially, you don't really need help desk software anymore. You can come to WorkMarket, you can invite your employees in, and you can start dispatching them out from day one. Now, at OnForce, if you wanted to go and find somebody in a third-party database, and in 2003, I still think it was the right decision. In 2011, I don't, but in 2003, I do think it was the right decision. You take that service event and you route it out to a database of people who you've never met. You're routing it out to a first name, last initial. Okay? Mm-hmm. We've decided to say, hey, you know what? Make the database open. We're not selling the name and the phone number of a person here. Right? We're selling a process. Give our clients the visibility to who's showing up and representing their brands. So we've taken the approach that instead of sending work out blindly to people who you've never met before, who you've never spoken to before, invite the people in that you want to represent your brand. Test those people, put them through a learning management process, vet the people any way you want. But now you've invited these people in, and now you have a resource pool. So instead of just routing a service event to a giant marketplace, route this service event to people who you know and who you vetted. So in the very example where you said, hey, I'm a provider in a certain, you know, geographic area, I want to invite some people in this area here. Yeah, you can do that now, right? At OnForce, you were not able to do that. You had to just route it to people who we had in our database. Now you can invite in your set of resources, you can manage them there, you can have your employees added to the platform, and now you've got full visibility on a dashboard in front of you of all the resources that are eligible to work for you to represent your brand out there. I can only imagine how my clients felt historically when they had to take a call and be like, okay, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed here. I'm going to route this call out to a database of people I've never met before. I'm going to hope they do a good job. We've turned that whole entire dynamic around. And in doing that, Rick, I think we've solved another problem.
And then what problem is that?
A big complaint that we got at OnForce was that I don't want to get this kind of work. This is the wrong work for me. I don't work at this rate. I don't work for $50. I don't work for $30. I don't want that kind of work. Okay? Well, here, because now WorkMarket's an invite system. Now, if somebody invites you in and that's the kind of work that they're offering, you don't have to accept that invite. You never have to see that kind of work. As a matter of fact, at OnForce, a lot of our work was invited out to 20, 30, 40, 50 people each time, which meant I had 39 unhappy people. If somebody sent a service call out to 40 people, I had 39 unhappy people. I had one person who got that service call, right? A lot of the work that we see on Work Market now, because the database is vetted, because you've applied to work at, in some within somebody's group, which is a feature on our system, and because somebody's invited you to work and represent them, you, there's a relationship there. There's an understanding there, right? They've invited you for a reason, and you've accepted that invitation for a reason. Maybe you've agreed on price. Maybe you've agreed on terms. Maybe you have agreed on dress code. Maybe you have, you know, the right skill set. But there's a reason why you've established that business relationship within the Work Market platform. Now, when we see work getting sent out to people to do it, it's getting sent out to one person. And it's getting accepted even faster because, you know what? It's the right person. Right.
I see. Which, hence what I meant by buddy system. And essentially what I could do is if I have a close circle of tech friends, say like in the Force Field forums, there are techs in the Force Field forums that we all know. A lot of us have never actually met each other in person, but we've worked with each other more or less online in a lot of different ways and helped and collaborated with each other online. If, say, one of these techs has you know, has a job they need to do remotely that's for a customer in another city or in another state, or they're in a pinch and they need some help in an area that that other tech is in, then it's only to their friend or their buddy. And they've worked out a deal. And since they're on Work Market, they can go ahead and feel that work back and forth. And it's a and they can choose if they have, say, 10 people in the Force Field forums, for instance, that they know and trust that they can have, how should I say, on retainer, more or less, for lack of a better term. It's kind of a like, on a retainer so that when they need some assistance, when they need some labor performed in an area that tech can attend to, they can work with them on that.
So that whole,
the opportunity.
That whole concept of organizing your resources and then having it on demand is exactly what Work Market's about. Right, we've got functionality built around something we call groups. So, for example, somebody would the company that wanted to organize this pool of labor would form a group and say, these are the people I want to work for me. But you know what? To work for me, you have to agree to this these terms and conditions. I need to see that you pass this test. You know what? Maybe it's a difficult test. Maybe it's an easy test. But for you to represent my brand, to represent my company and offer my quality, I need to see that you pass this test. So you know what? You can go to Work Market. You can build a test. You can attach a video to it. You can attach images to that test. It could be multiple choice. It could be fill in the blank. But we've built the real learning management system here, so now you can have visibility into not only who's showing up, but what they know. By the way, you can also pick up the phone and call them and talk to them. Okay?
And that is a fundamental difference between Work Market and most of these other service platforms.
But the other platforms,
you can't do that.
First of all, you don't know who you're sending. You have no idea who those people are. You have a first name, last initial. Okay, so you might be friends with Jeff L. in New York, but you know what? Instead of Jeff Leventhal, you're getting Jeff Levine. You might have thought it was going to that guy. And so, look, you got to keep your fingers crossed there. Here you do with a lot of confidence.
I'd like to go back and touch on the groups again here and get a little more in-depth as to what they are. But before I do that, I'd like to go back to the formation of the system or the formation of the platform itself. You brought in several members of the original crew who started ComputerRepair.com. You brought them in on board for Work Market.
Sure.
Who else is involved?
Well, we've got Jack Barcroft, Glenn Nortman. We've got Chris Lewis, Mark McIntyre, Jeff Leventhal. I hope I'm not forgetting. We've got a whole bunch of people who we've worked with at OnForce. We've got Eric Castro heading up our client services team. We've got Jeff Wald, who's my co-founder in the company. Jeff Wald had happened to have been very involved in terms of the OnForce business. He was a venture capitalist. Jeff Wald is on our team. And besides, you know what? It's great to have a team that you've played with for a long time and you've done things together because you can kind of move quickly and do things. But we've also mixed it in with some people who are just total rock stars in the space that understand this kind of technology. And so besides having a team that's worked together in the past, we've also got and we've mixed in some extreme talent alongside. Rich Pladia, by the way. We brought Rich Pladia in. Rich was a rock star. By the way, Rich Pladia was at OnForce, and then he was over at Field Nation. Rich Pladia's on our team now. Dana Spiegel. Dana Spiegel headed up product over at OnForce. Dana Spiegel's on our team also. I wanted to make sure I wasn't forgetting anybody there.
I remember
but
Dana.
No, so quite a few people have signed on and joined the team. By the way, I think that that's a big vote of confidence that there was, one, still a lot to be done, and that, you know, if there was a team that was going to do it, this is the team to do it.
And at least two of them we've had on the force field as well in the past. Jack Barcroft, of course, he was in episode 9 in the episode called You Know Jack, you know, and Eric Castro. And we've had him on because he's been on the force field in the past talking about service live.
Yep. Well, so, Eric Castro was, you know, a large client on the OnForce platform. He was a big buyer of services. And then he was over building service live for a while. And getting Eric on the team was something that, you know, we are extremely excited about.
So you do have some star players on that, you know, headlining your team there. So it's bound to be successful.
Yes.
Now we were talking about the labor resource platform, and then I think you took us on kind of a more of an overview of how the platform is intended to work. How does Work Market work? I mean, can you give us a real world example of a typical use for it, as you know, as one company reaching out to another?
You know, I think that a lot of people come up with ways to make it work for them. It's a large platform. It's an enterprise piece of software in every sense of the word, on the side of people who are trying to manage a large amount of buying in terms of labor. We've got some people who are managing large warranty programs through our system. On the flip side of that, we've got very large project management firms rolling out Cisco. We also have a client who's rolling out digital signs in 20,000 locations. That's a three-year project. So we have another client who's managing a very large retailer's business through our system. I don't think that there's a typical case, because I think a lot of different companies come to the market with a different value proposition to their clients. But by and large, people are figuring out how to manage the field well. How do you drive a high-quality event? How do you do it economically? And how do you do it so that everybody's interest is aligned in the equation? I think those are more of the commonalities.
Now, I noticed that you have something on there called lanes. What exactly are lanes, and how do they work?
Well, lanes was a concept that we used during the development stage that helped us think out the categories of labor. And so your W-2s, we called that lane 1. And the vendors that you already knew on the buy side, we called that lane 2. And then when you browsed our database and you looked and found somebody to represent your company, we called that lane 3. For all intents and purposes, the lane concept is now evaporated, during the development process, it helped us actually think out the architecture. When you start mixing three categories of labor into one dashboard, you could imagine our clients wanted to know, well, who's this resource? Why is Rick in my resource pool? How did I find Rick? Oh, Rick was the vendor that we already had. Oh, that's an employee of mine. We have clients who have 500 employees, right? And so just because they see a name, they don't necessarily know, do I want to send this to my employee first? Do I want to send it to my vendor first? Or do I want to send it to a third party first, right? And so as much work as people see coming through the platform now, because the volume has picked up quite dramatically in the last few weeks, there's just as much volume going out to people's own employees. People are using our platform every single day to manage their internal business. So that's what we refer to as lane one. But from a product point of view and from looking at the product, the lane concept has evaporated. We just use it to kind of help describe some of the technology.
I see. The other feature that you mentioned earlier that I thought was very interesting was groups. What is the purpose of groups?
Groups is a way for people to organize the labor that's representing their company. It's also a way to onboard labor. So onboarding is a big issue with our clients, right? They want onboarding somebody, finding a subcontractor to represent them. It takes a lot of time to do that. They have an application that they have to fill out. They have forms they have to sign. They may have a couple of tax documents they have to get into order, all of that. And so we built a process that helps our clients do all of that very quickly. So our clients will form one of two types of groups. Group number one could be a private group, which means the public won't see this group. It's just an internal way for me to say, these are the people in this group. A group can be around skills. Let me form a group for all the Cisco engineers that work for me in the country. Let me form another group for all the MCSEs that work for me. Or some people form groups around geographies and say, these are the people I use in New York City, and these are the people I use in Chicago. And so they have groups for those purposes. Mm-hmm. By the way, a lot of people started saying, you know what? I want to form a group, but it's not a work-related group. I just want to make a social group. I want to just get together and talk to these people about technology or considering my community. And so we've seen people form about 40 or 50 different groups at a social group. Hey, we're okay with that. We'll never make a nickel off them, but you know what? It's part of the community. It drives community. And, you know, so now people are forming groups where they just kind of get together with themselves on the system. And that was a suggestion from people within our platform.
Well, you know, that, and that's a good idea, and I'll tell you why. Being socially involved in forums like OnForce the past, that having social groups is an important part of that collaborative process, to where you can get to know other people, and they can get to know you, and then you can make that decision as to, okay, should I let him into my group for where I'm actually making assignments or not? It's kind of a, I would say, maybe sort of a sandbox, a social sandbox area, where you can kind of get to know these people before you use them and decide whether you really want to work for them or not.
That's right.
I think it may not make money directly for you, but indirectly, it might actually improve the quality, overall quality of the platform and the quality of the work that is run through it.
Overall. We agree.
I think it's a good idea.
It establishes a social contract. It establishes a social bond. And, again, it's something that will drive quality. By the way, Rick, I'll tell you something that's very interesting, is that, you know, the invite system is very different than a pure marketplace system, right? And we sat down with a client the other day. They said, hey, we want to talk to you about, you know, we've run hundreds and hundreds of events on your platform at this point. We want to come and we want to talk to you about quality. Mm-hmm. You meet with us. And we said, sure, of course. And they said to us, and they showed us the results, and they go, this is the highest quality outcome we've ever seen. This has exceeded our expectations. And we kind of, you know, I went to that meeting with a little bit of anxiety, right? Coming out of that meeting, it validated that the invite system is what makes sense. The group system, the invite system, so this company is a big user of groups, right? They will not send work to anybody unless they're in their group. And getting in their group, you know what? It's not the easiest thing in the world. By the way, the average transaction size that they pay, it's in the hundreds of dollars. The quality is off the charts. And the group that they formed, it's got to be some of the most elite people around.
Well, I signed up for Work Market, of course, and I recently created the Force Field group. So the Force Field has an official social group on Work Market, and it is a social group. It's an open group. Or open within the Work Market platform, I should say. Mm-hmm. And anyone on Work Market can join the group. So it's a great, I think it's a good way for people to meet and greet and decide, you know, whether they want to work with each other or not, and to really learn more about the other people.
Yes.
I should mention also to the listeners at this point that Work Market also has forums for its members in a private area in the Force Field forums at theforcefield.net/forums. These private forums are set aside specifically for techs who join Work Market, and Work Market staffers do use the forums to answer questions and address issues with the use of the platform. So, you know, if you're looking for forums, Work Market related forums, we set them up for Work Market, and they're there to use, to access.
This is great. You know, Rick, and again, you know, if we haven't thanked you multiple times already, thank you again for doing that for us, because one, there's no reason to build multiple forum sites, right? You know, you've got the audience that we want to communicate with, and so we're thrilled that you allowed us to have some exposure there and to have a forum and a discussion point. Yes, those are our forums for our business, and that is where we direct people to go and talk about any issues they have with Work Market. So thank you for that, Rick.
But my aim here is to educate and to help nurture collaboration between everyone in the industry, with, you know, the techs, the vendors, the, you know, the buyers, and, you know, whatever you want to call the different groups there that are in the industry that are interacting with each other. I think collaboration, and I won't go into a dissertation on it now, but I've always believed that collaboration is more powerful than just at-the-throat competition.
By the way, we've gotten great ideas from within those forums. People posted up things that they liked about Work Market that they didn't like about Work Market, and, you know, we've taken direct feedback from there, and it's impacted our product. So, again, thank you for all that. Thanks to everybody who's put feedback in there also.
In our next episode, we'll continue our discussion with Jeff and learn more about the Work Market platform. We'll discuss how you can best leverage Work Market to manage labor projects for your own business, address concerns within the Force Field community as to whether or not this new platform will deliver as expected, and how you can help influence its direction in the future, as we conclude with part two of a two-part introduction to Work Market. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May The Force Field be with you.